Okay. Well, you know, people have been having battles galore this last couple of weeks, and I'm thinking, you know, is our Lord ready for battle? And of course, the Lord said, yes, it is a battle. Every day is a new battle. I don't care who you are, what it is, life doesn't go through this smooth, wonderful path where everyone's showering you with gifts and there's love and kindness surrounding us. The washing gets done on its own. You don't have to go to work. And, oh, it's just when the food appears on your plate. And it's great. It doesn't go like that. So I thought about it. You know, and I don't care who you are. You have a battle. You have a battle with yourself first. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. Yes. Let alone. Let alone your partner or your friends or your church or anything else. Let alone it. So I'm just going to read this passage of Scripture from 2 Timothy 2, 1 to 13. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, that the things that you have heard from me, among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Did you get that?
Yeah.
For what God is teaching us, no matter what you think about yourself, God's saying, I've called you, I'm teaching you, now you're learning, you go and
teach others,
faithful men. that you therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Come on, hardship, we don't want it. And so you've got it anyhow. If you've not got Christ, you've got all this hardship without him. And I promise you, no matter what has gone on in my life, now all the stuff that I've gone through, and people say, you know, people look at me and go, it's all right for you, Mark. They look at me, they look at where I live, they look at what I've got, they look the way I am, they look at my faith, and I've quote scriptures, and I'm doing that all the time, it's all right for you, Mark. Oh, yes, it's all right for me. I agree. But just like Jesus Christ, who is the Son of God, that had the power of the earth inside him, he still had to endure hardship like a good soldier. Look how they tormented him. Look how they called him evil. Look how they attacked him everywhere he went, no matter what he said. All that good he did, and yet they attacked him time and time again. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life. Be careful. Be careful that you spend too much time in the affairs of this world and you don't look after yourself with Jesus Christ. That is so important. We can't just come to church or come to Monday night and put him on the side. It's got to be a daily engagement with God. Why? That he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. We're the soldiers. Hello? Now, if you look at war and everything else, where are the generals? They're in the command post. You know, where they, okay, Ben, over the top, take the church with you, get fired at. Well, that's what a war's about. But we don't have to stand on top of the trench going, shoot me. We stop in the trench until the time is right, until we've got our battle plan and our strategy, and then we go over the top to attack what the world is trying to do. So we know really what the devil is trying to do with us.
Yeah.
It's important. Why? So we please him who enlisted us as a soldier. We're the soldiers.
Yeah.
You know, you can call it, listen to this little bit of scripture afterwards. Also, if anyone competes in athletics, he's not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. What does an athlete do all the time?
Train.
Pardon?
Train.
All the time to be able to compete in whatever race he's going into. So what does that tell us about our walk with Christ? All the time we're being trained to be like an athlete, highly tuned, winning the race, winning it, or at least finishing the race. Hallelujah. It's important. And look at the last one. The hard-working farmer must be first to partake of the crops. So, you know, all the effort we put in, no matter what we do, that effort gets rewarded. We get a reward from God
for working in his kingdom. Consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ, of the seed of David, was raised from the dead, according to my gospel, for which I suffer trouble as an evildoer. So this is Paul the Apostle telling Timothy, do all this, and I suffer like I'm an evildoer for doing it. What happened to Paul? Anybody remember? Give me some of the bad things that happened to him.
Shipwrecked.
He was
whipped. Stoned.
Thrown into jail.
Stoned.
Abused, thrown out of cities, starved. So, you know, it's great fun, isn't it? I'm painting this great picture of being a soldier of Jesus Christ. Which I suffer troubles and evildoers. Even to the point of change. But the word of God is not changed. So what is he telling? Even though that happened to him, he still gave out the word of God no matter what was happening to him. Isn't that fascinating? We think we've got to be this holy, wonderful, loving kind, but no matter what happens, we still give the word of God. It's our defense and it's our attack. It's both. Therefore, I endure all things for the sake of the elect. Who are the elect?
Christians.
Isn't that amazing? So we endure all things for the sake of each other. I endure all what the people do against me for the sake of you. Isn't that fascinating? No matter what happens, no matter what people say, no matter how many people let me down, no matter how many people say I'll do this and they don't do it. Do you know how many times that is? That's a great expression. It's amazing. And yet, it doesn't stop me. I know Andrew said, how do you put up with it, Mark? I said, because Christ puts up with me. I'm sure I can put up with you. Isn't that fascinating? I know what I'm like. So I know he's had to put up with me. It's like Linda's had to put up with me for 40 years. She's really blessed.
Yeah, that woman is a saint.
Yeah.
Yes.
We're all saints.
The time to speak and the time to be quiet. Praise the Lord.
We do it all for the sake of each other. Isn't that amazing? We put up with all of that just so we can help each other get to heaven, get a better life now. To share all these things. It's not about being on our own. It's about sharing. So they might obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Isn't that amazing? We're doing this for each other so we'll have this eternal glory. What's that glory mean?
Praise. Happiness.
Happiness.
Joy.
Joy. Peace. Come on. Pleasure. It's amazing. But the glorious thing is it's going to be this incredible place we're going to live in. No more tears and everything else. And so we endure all this now. And it's only for a
season.
It is Wendy. It does, Wendy. It is Leslie. It doesn't. It does. Sorry, Wendy. It doesn't. It's only seasons.
Passing
through. It's not all the time. We know that because God sees us through. God only lets it go so far. You know, so it's so important. This is a faithful saying. For if we died with him, we shall also live with him. What's that mean?
Our old lives die with him.
It's dying to our old self. Not what we think, what we say. And that's the difficulty for all of us. We've been brought up with so much stuff in our heads, so much stuff that people have told us that, you know, it's quite difficult for some of us to change out of that thinking and look at what he tells us and then obey it. Yeah. It is quite difficult. I have no problem. I was the best fighter against it. So I know what it's like. But if we endure, we shall win. The race is not to the swift.
But it is to that patient, it is to those ones that endure and continue and continue, continue, no matter what's going on. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. Isn't that amazing? Wow. So soon as we turn back, yes, that's it. You're back with me. Amazing God. He cannot deny himself. In other words, he cannot deny his word. So if you want to know something, you look at his word, he's never, that's it, finished. He can't deny it. If there's one of those things that he doesn't do right, the whole Bible's a lie. Yeah. I have not seen one thing that God hasn't promised me that has not happened. Mm. Not one. Okay, I'm going to give you something now. This is a delivery. It's a load of scriptures. I'm just going to whiz through them, and I'll send you this afterwards anyhow, because this is really important for us, because no matter what we're going through, no matter what the battles are, no matter what it is, no matter what struggles you've got, no matter what thoughts you have, this is what God said he'll do. Are they up? Next slide. I'm just going to run through them so you know. Okay. Here they all are. I'm not even going to give you the numbers of what it is. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I'll send him your wedding. I'll send him some great. But make your notes of the other stuff, and I'll send you the scriptures. There's a load here, and I'm going to whiz through them. And all it is, you'll see why I'm going to whiz through them. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you. And you shall glorify. You shall give me praise. Surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. In other words, no matter what's going on, if you get disease or anything, or somebody's trying to trap you, I'm going to deliver you from it. To deliver you from the way of evil. So no matter what evil, I'm going to deliver you from that way. From the man who speaks perverse things. From those who leave the path of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice in doing evil and delight in the perversity of the wicked, whose ways are crooked and whose are devious in their paths. I will deliver you from all those ways of evil. To deliver you from the immoral woman. I'm sorry, ladies, isn't it amazing how the Bible's always talking about the women? They caused trouble at the beginning and they're still causing trouble today. Hallelujah. They know what I'm saying, women. So don't worry. I'm not anti-women. It's just that how the Bible explains how things happen. It's amazing. From a seductress who flatters with her words. Okay, Jeremiah. This is really powerful stuff from Jeremiah. There's tons of it in Jeremiah. Do not be afraid of their faces, he told Jeremiah. You know, we see some things and we become afraid, don't we? But he said, no, don't be afraid. For those people who don't like him, don't be afraid of their faces. For I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. I'll get you through it. Stop worrying about them people. I'll get you through it, whoever they are. No matter what they're doing, Clint, in that mess of a place you go to, he'll deliver you if you just stay with him. And he won't deliver your leaflets. Hallelujah. Praise God. They will fight against you, but they shall not prevail against you. For I am with you to deliver you. You've got to get in the picture? Right, there's a good one here. This is I like this one. This is what God said to Jeremiah, because Jeremiah kept saying, oh, well, I'm only small, I can't do this and I can't do that. Who would like that here?
Everyone.
Well, I'm not.
Most of us.
Praise the Lord. You know what I mean? It's there, isn't it? It's there, isn't it? You know, that it comes against us. What do we feel? Well, look what he said to Jeremiah. I will make you to this people a fortified bronze wall. Anybody know how hard bronze is? If you don't, we'll bring you a piece and I'll give you a little tap with it and you'll see how hard it is. How hard's bronze?
Very hard.
Is it really hard bronze as well?
Yeah.
How hard is it?
Harder than steel.
Harder than steel. Here you are, there's a great, right? So look what he said to Jeremiah. I will make you to this people a fortified bronze wall. I don't really want to be that strong. No, because you know what's going to happen, don't you? They're going to come against you.
Yeah.
They will fight against you. But
they shall not prevail against you. For I am with you to save you. Isn't that beautiful? Do you know he talks about salvation even more than the New Testament? And don't forget, that's what he's asking. That deliver is save me, God. Save me. Save me from drowning. Save me from the fire. Save me from the evil. Save. He's delivering us. I am with you to save you and deliver you, says the Lord. I will deliver you from the hand of the wicked, and I will redeem you from the grip of the terrible. Isn't that great? So, you know, we see all these battles and everything else, and then all of a sudden, just like God is, and enduring all these hardships and everything else, and the devil's going to come after you, and he's going to talk to you, and he's going to try and take you off path, and you're going to feel disappointed and everything else. Don't worry. I will deliver you and say, just come to me. And it's amazing. So this is that battle we have daily. No matter where we go, there's things that come and people say things. And we even imagine things ourselves. Rather than finding the facts, sometimes, don't do that. Find the facts. What is it? What is it that we've got? Because he remains faithful, don't forget. No matter what we feel, no matter what we think, he remains faithful. And temptation? Is that on the bottom there, the temptation? 1 Corinthians, yeah?
Yeah.
Listen to this. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. No temptation is overtaking you except that is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Do you know what we get? You know what we get tempted with? Who tempts us?
Satan.
Okay, if he tempts us, Kevin, and we actually fall into sin, why is that?
We let it happen.
Our faith.
Okay, ready? It's already in your heart. So those things we have to put in defences against those things. We have to.
Same as a child then when he's born, or when he's, a month old, he hits a child, it's already there, running in it.
But God's saying, I'm going to get you through it anyhow. He said, but don't forget, if you do fall into sin, it's already in your heart to do it. Because if you've got enough scripture and you're going to church and you've got everything else and we're humbling ourselves and talking to each other and confessing our faults and telling them we don't understand and everything, great, that's the way the church grows. But if we start thinking and dwelling on things, our heart changes. It's directly linked. Heart and heart and mind is directly linked. Your heart doesn't get hurt without you thinking about it first. Amazing. So it's so. Are you confused yet? No, you okay? Well, let's confuse you, shall we? Let's go to Romans 7:15. This is Paul. This is one of the scriptures which I think is an incredible, crazy, mixed up Paul. But this is us. But I love it because it tells us the way that we are. Really? For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will do, that I do not practice, and what I hate, that I do. If then, I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law that it is good. But now, it is no longer I who do it, but the sin that dwells in me. For I know in me, that's in my flesh, nothing good dwells, for to will is present with me. But how to perform what is good, I do not find. For the good that I will do, I do not do, but the evil I will not to do, that I practice. Now if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I do it, but the sin that dwells in me. Oh, I find that a law, that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind of myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. What on earth is that? It is very simple. This is the battle of our fleshly desires against what God wants us to do. Our flesh is incredibly strong. You know, when we get angry, our flesh rages. You feel that the tenseness comes and the mind races, and out of our mouth comes, out of the abundance of our heart comes not so nice things. So there's your battle anyhow. We have our battle with ourselves to begin with. You know, we read scriptures and we don't agree with them. Yeah? You know, until somebody explains to you exactly what it means, but we read them, you know. It's like Kevin's been doing tithes and offerings, like, you know, when the Bible is very clear that tithes is 10%. And people go, oh dear, man. Straight away, like, you know, oh, I can't afford that. And that's what people say. It's the battle. It's the battle of trusting God or trusting ourselves with everything. With His Word, with His Bible, with His Spirit, with every single little thing. We have this inward battle that Paul would very... I don't think he elucidates it, does he, David? It seems quite mixed up, doesn't it? You know, why didn't you just say, every day I have a battle in my head, you know, what I want to do and what God wants me to do, and I'll try to do it, but I don't do it, and I don't know why I do it, but I do know what I do it, because I'm too weak. I'm too weak to do it, you know. Well, why don't I just do it in the first place? And then we look at Paul and what he's done. The greatest, I call him the greatest apostle. He took this message to the Gentiles and the church just grew. He preached from Antioch, where Christians were first called Christians, and the whole of Asia heard the gospel within 2 years, just through teaching. So don't tell us we can't do it. But so, I understand what he's saying, because that's our inward battle. Every time you have an inward battle, shall I read my Bible? Shall I study? Shall I pray? Shall I pray? Well, I'm a bit late, I better go, I'll do it in the car. Anybody done that? No, don't worry, I can give you loads of examples, because it's just from my experience, not from somebody else's. And there it is, it's there, it's that battle. And so what we've got to remember is that the apostles were the same. God knows. And that is the most wonderful thing about it. God knows where we are. And that's why he says, ask me. That's why our prayers are so important. Ask me. And that's why having church is so important to Bible study. Ask me. Let's get it out how we are so we can put in the Word of God. Counsel, we've done this a couple of times. Go on to the next slide. Taking counsel. And I must continue to preach this, because we all of a sudden get trapped in ourselves and don't release what we've got in our heads, talk amongst ourselves. This is where there is no counsel, the people. That's the great one that's from the King James. It's really important we read decent Bibles. You know that I study from the King James and use the New King James to preach, only because people get quite concerned I'm not speaking up to date English. But you know, it's so important that we use these types of Bible that are closer to the Word of God rather than some of these other Bibles. But we need to take counsel. And it's not just from one person sometimes. You know, if you've got a problem, you know, and those who have been with me will tell you, I will not make the decisions on my own. I will ask. Because it's no good me saying I'm going to start a church or I'm going to do this or I'm going to do that. And Ben, who's probably worked with me longer than anyone else, you know, that I always ask the people. I never tell them what they've got to do. I ask them and we come to a decision which is best for
everyone. Yeah.
I didn't know you were there, Kevin.
No. Praise the Lord.
But it's right, everyone, so we do take counsel, and also the next one, without counsel, plans go awry. But in the multitude of counsellors, they are established. Our plans, we work together, the church has got plans, we work together, and we will get, and we will get what God wants to get done. Okay, important. Next one. Okay, look at this little scripture here. It's more. Sorry,
okay.
The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. How many of us say, oh, we'll do this and we'll do that, and we'll do the other, and we don't do it?
Yeah.
That's us. It's perfect. That's the flesh. That is us as human beings. We were made like this. And you know, and it sounds great, doesn't it? Right, we'll go out and do this and we'll do that, like, you know, and 3 months later.
Still haven't done it, still saying.
Amen, 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 Kevin. It's like sending the names
email
to the pastor who you've been asking on the Truth Revealed course. Hallelujah. Has anybody done it? Oh, praise God. You see what you have to put up with, you can't even do a simple task. Praise God. Forgive them, Father, they know not what they do, but I think they do. Actually. I think they do. Praise God. It is important that we understand these things, though, because that's what should drive us into the right direction. It's that little bit of fresh in knowing what we were like. So that's that discipline we need to put into, well, to do the things that God wants us to do. Get over the flesh. Stop doing all those things that don't help you with God. This is what we should be like. This is an incredible bit of scripture for all of us. This is Jesus. You know, the Bible says we should be transformed to his image by the Spirit of our Lord Jesus Christ. But when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered, like sheep having no shepherd. They're the lost ones. They're the lost ones who don't know what you know. And he said to his disciples, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. And people say, oh, I'm praying, people tell me, I'm praying for the Lord to send out laborers. And I said, well, why don't you pray to the Lord to send you out as a laborer? I said, that's the flesh again. The flesh is going, oh, I'm praying for somebody to go out. And I realised at a very early time of my Christian life that, hold on a minute, I'm the soldier. I'm the labourer. Why am I asking God to tell somebody else to do it when I ought to be doing it to be the example? Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Okay, then don't. Just nod your head, praise the Lord. It's important that we see it. We look at these people that we know. You know, when we look at them with a different eye, with a different look, if they don't get saved, and they go to hell,
yeah.
And you haven't given them the opportunity to find the Lord Jesus Christ, now we should feel guilty. Mm-hmm. Amen?
Yeah.
It's okay. It's not depression. This is good instruction for us to be blessed. And so it is so important we stop looking at us, of who I am and what I feel like and everything else. You know, God wants you to be strong. He wants to give you his strength. He wants you to give your his power to us. He wants our prayers to be answered. He wants our spiritual prayers to excite the angels and get God to move upon all these people. Everyone that we meet, we know their spirit. If they've not got the Spirit of Christ, then they're not with Christ. Have compassion on them. You know, when we witness to them and they argue, it's okay. It's all right. Stop worrying about that. They did it to Jesus. If they did it to you, then you're blessed. And we don't see it that way. Oh, they don't want me talking about Christ. So
battle. Continue. Show them the love. You know, I never said sorry. And I know you don't like me preaching about Christ, but you know he's real. That's my problem, he's real. And you don't know him. And all I'm trying to do is to get you to know him. That's all I'm trying to do. And I promise you, you know that. Why don't people want to have joy and peace and, you know, and happiness in their life? I said, Christ said, no matter what's going on, I can still give you that peace in the midst of the storm. And he knows the storm. He's just told us that previously. He knows we're going to have hardships. He knows we're going to go through the battle. But it's what we do in the battle. Can we just stop getting uptight with all the stuff that's going on around us? Father, you know what's happening. And I know you'll give me the strength to get through. I know you'll give me the solution. I know you'll help me if I come to you. I know that I've got to go and share what's happening to me with my pastor or my brother or my sister. I know I need that counsel. I know, Father. But it's so important that we have that same compassion on others that Christ has had on you. Isn't that fascinating? Who is then is Paul and who is Apollos? Have I got that on there? Okay. Who are they? Because we've got to be so careful. The ministers through whom you believed, as the Lord gave to each one, I planted, Apollos watered, God gave the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God gives the increase. And he who plants and who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labour. Labourers, okay? We're labourers together with God. We're the labourers, we're the workers, we're the soldiers. Guess what? We're the sowers as well. We sow the word, and if you don't sow any words, you don't get any crops. And if you sow the word and you don't water it, if you sow seeds and you don't water seeds, it never grow. So once we've sown the word to somebody, we've got to go back and water them. We've got to talk to them. We've got to preach to them. We've got to give them testimonies. We've got to tell them. We've got to try and show them, sit with them. It doesn't matter where you do it, in the coffee house, in your home, outside, whatever it is. But we've got to get our minds firmly fixed on this battle that we've got with all these people that don't want to know Christ. It's okay. If you don't win it, that's gone. Hallelujah. But if you win it, hallelujah. You see, it's not up to us to win the soul, you know, that we can. Mm. You know, and because God gives the increase. Does everybody understand that? One waters, one sows, one waters, God gives the increase. Let me just explain it to you. It's so simple. We're the labourers. He's told us to go out into this world and sow the seed, the word of God. Then he's told us to water it. I might not water it, you might sow it, I might water it. He said, what happens to that when we sow the water and the crop grows, it's going to bring ready for harvest. And the harvest is them being saved. Okay? So we know how people get saved now. So that's the harvest. Okay. So the first part is repentance, isn't it, when we get them saved? Who accepts their repentance?
God.
So who forgives them?
God.
Amen. Who baptizes them in water to take away their sins? God takes away the sins through that human action of being baptized. Spiritual. Who gives them the Holy Ghost? God. We can't. We can just pray for them and encourage them. So you can understand. Water. So water, God gives the increase. We know God gives us. I don't give them the Holy Ghost. If he did, that might be God. And if I was God, God help the world. Hallelujah. I need God to put some chains on me. Hallelujah. You don't want to hear the word of God? No, honey, Joe.
It's that partnership again.
Amen. Go on, Ken. Bring us back.
I'll work with you. I'll work with you and you work with me.
Amen.
And if you don't, then you can't work with you anyway.
Hallelujah. That's brilliant. So that's so important. And of course, you receive your reward for what you do. Mm. Not what somebody else does. Praise the Lord. We're doing well. Okay. Oh, learn this one off by heart. Romans 12:2. Everyone learn this off by heart. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that it's good and acceptable and perfect will of God. It's just changing our thinking. We do think about things, don't we? And let's be fair, you know, it's like when I'm teaching, you've had loads of teaching. Can we take it all in? But there are things in there that you've got to go and study to make sure you know about yourself. You know where you're weak. You know what you do, you know what you do and you know what you don't do. And you know what you should be doing which you don't do, and you know that what you're doing you shouldn't be doing, and you're doing it. Okay? It's quite simple, really, isn't it? You can see that battle. And so it is so important that we begin to look at things this way. Okay, here we go. Let's get to the end, shall we? Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. Your spirit is good, and lead me in the land of uprightness. So this is what we're asking God. Revive me, O Lord. Come and energize me again. Fill me with your spirit again, Lord. For your name's sake, for Jesus' sake today. For your righteousness' sake, bring my soul out of trouble. Cut off my enemies, destroy all those who afflict my soul, for I am your servant. It's not destroy the people, it's destroy the demonic influence. Okay? Come to me, all you who labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. You'll find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, but acknowledge him in all of your ways, and he shall direct your paths. You know, it doesn't matter what battle we have a God that will deliver us from it. We have a God that will put us on the right path again. And no matter what we think, no matter what we say, if we continue to work laden with the Lord outside, he'll reward you. We will get our joy, we will get our peace, we will, because that's his promise. Remember, we can deny him, but he can't deny himself. So I'm going to finish off with a lovely psalm. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in the green pastures, where the food is good, where it's calm. He leads me beside the still waters, no more raging waters. He restores my soul, no matter where I am. He leads me in the paths of righteousness, walking his way, for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no. For you are with me. That marvellous. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. That strength in the old times. That's what it was. The rod and the staff directing things that were going on. Moses with his rod did everything. That was his strength. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. Anointing was where that you were blessed of God. My cup runs over. Just give us a bit of a blessing. It's to be full, to be running over. And when it's running over, we'll run over as well and tell everyone. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Church, no matter what battle we've got, he's already given us the victory on the cross. Mm-hmm. We might lose a couple of battles, but we're going to win the war because we've already won it.
Oh, yes.
And we've got to live with that victorious attitude. I don't care what's going on. We can make it better with God. We can be victorious in everything we do. We can grow the church. We can change. We can have peace and joy. We can, Lord. We can have compassion on the poor. We will teach. We will preach. We will grow the church. Why? Because that's what he wants.
Yeah.
In Jesus' name.
Jesus.
Wow.